Artists often turn to art as a powerful tool for social change, using it to amplify their message and engage with communities. How can activists integrate more art into their efforts, ensuring their artistic expressions are impactful?
Welcome to Climate Organizing Shorts, where we're having short but inspiring conversations with climate organizers to help give you ideas for how you can build momentum for change in your community.
Climate Organizing Shorts is a collaboration between Pullback Podcast and the Climate Justice Organizing Hub. I'm Kyla Hewson, and I'm here with Kristen Pugh.
On today's episode, we spoke with Ramel Bellisilio, a Greenpeace mobilization campaigner who works with volunteers, activists, staff, and other allies to create actions, activities, and events that disrupt the status quo and push for change. Greenpeace is famous for its nonviolent direct actions, which often involve large art installations. Ramel shares his insights on why art installations are so effective and how other activists can incorporate more of them into their direct action plans. Let's go. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey through Greenpeace, like how you got started, how you got into the role that you're in now?
So I really started with Greenpeace as a volunteer about 10 years ago. And from there, I led the local group of volunteers in Toronto. So I mobilize people to do actions. So basically every campaign that we do, we have one person assigned to mobilize our volunteers and our staff. Sometimes it's very emotional and physically draining. So you want to make sure that people are trained well. My role also is in charge of the volunteer journey. My experience as a volunteer has been amazing. And that's why I keep on volunteering. And then when an opportunity opens up for me to become a part of this organization, then I just grab it. So I want to make sure that the volunteers who are volunteering with us have that amazing journey as well.
Being a volunteer with Greenpeace is just so fun. And one of the reasons that it's really fun is that Greenpeace is really creative. And it's well known for using art pieces to make different points. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that approach. Why is it something that can make a point, and what kind of purposes do you think art can serve in protest?
You know, Greenpeace is known for this nonviolent direct action. A huge part of these actions that we do, as you mentioned, is the art that we use. Within our community, we call it Art Build. It is where we create these visuals that we use for these actions. It enables us to convey our message. It also allows us to get attention from people, to make a particular action go viral, enables us to start the conversation with the public, and at the same time, it raises awareness. So these arts that we build, whether it is a poster, a banners, a sculpture, an installation, or any other form of like artistic expression, really help us convey our message.
Are there any really cool examples from the last year or so of art builds that you were really excited about that you can describe to listeners who maybe didn't see them?
There's a lot, actually. I could tell you a non-ending examples that I've been like, when I was a volunteer, one thing that we've done is, this is during the time when like Game of Thrones was actually like so popular. There was a part of Game of Thrones that there was like a Starbucks cup that was seen that was viral. So we used that. So during that time, it was a campaign for the top plastic polluters in Canada. One of those plastic polluters is Tim Hortons. And we want to like call out Tim Hortons to actually like make use of other alternatives to reduce their plastic production. We gathered 1,000 cups from the cleanups all over the city to build this throne. And we call it Shame of Thrones. And it's made of like 1,000 cups to resemble 1,000 sword used to create the Iron Throne of the Game of Thrones reference. So we did a renegade exhibit at Nuit Blanche. And there's a lot of people. We get so much attention. People are taking photos of it, tagging Tim Hortons. So it put pressure on the company. And actually, that this is before pandemic. And actually, like Tim Horton kind of, because of like our campaigning, our years of campaigning, not just this action, but years of campaigning, they finally agreed to do a pilot study of having, you know, reusable cup in some of their, I don't know now, I have to follow up with our plastic campaigner what happened, because pandemic kind of like messes everything, because we're not allowed to bring our reusables anymore. So, but I can tell you that, you know, making these art pieces that make a statement, may attract attention, can totally make a difference. You know, when you talk about climate change, it's always like doom and gloom, right? But with these art that you create, it changes the narrative. It kind of like make people engage to talk about these issues rather than to stay away from it or not talk about it because it's too dark or too sad.
It's a really nice way to engage people in something that's fun, right? Like even letter writing campaigns, if you're sitting together with a bunch of people and you've all got postcards and you're just writing postcards to people, like it's fun. People don't normally associate the climate movement with having a good time. So these art installations are probably pretty important for stuff like that.
Absolutely. And you're right. Actually, one thing that I really recommend, one thing about these art builds is it builds community. It's not fun if you do it alone, but if you have a group of people doing it together, you have these amazing conversations with your fellow activists, like-minded people, it makes it fun. You know, you learn skills from other activists as well as you do these things. This is one way of like really building trust within our volunteers and building this community. So yeah, I think that's one advantage of having these art builds that we do.
Can you maybe talk about some of the different types of art builds? So I know like the Shame of Thrones example is a really good sort of like sculpture example, but what other kinds of art builds has Greenpeace done?
The basic one, of course, is banners. We perfectly mastered that technique of banner making. We use a projector to project image letters on the screen and a banner wall. We call it banner wall, and we just trace it instead of like doing a manual. Sometimes you need an artist. This time you don't have to be an artist to create these banners, because you have these tools, this technology that you can use to make your life easier. We have silk screen, we have stencil making, puppet making. We commissioned artists to do trainings with our volunteers as well. If you didn't have that skills, and this is what good with Greenpeace is, we commission people that are good in their craft and we create a training, and it's for free for our volunteers and for other allies to attend so that they would learn how to do this on their own as well. So we created this. So this is for our deep sea mining campaign. So apparently, like some of the corporations, drilling, mining, and land is not enough for them, that they have to mine the deep sea. So our campaign was asking our government to actually sign the moratorium to stop the deep sea mining. So that's one thing that we wanted. So one of the sea creature that is actually mostly affected by this, if this pushes through, is what we call the ghost octopus. It's a very small octopus that lays their eggs on these minerals that they're trying to mine. So we call them Casper because it's a ghost octopus. It's very little. It's going to be greatly affected if this pushes through. So what we did is we created a light installation, a 40 by 38 foot octopus made of LED lights. And we installed it in a Maple Island in Ottawa near the office of the foreign minister, who is likely had the power to actually sign this permit for our government to push us through the mining. So we have this engineer and architect who helped us map in the computer how this light's going to be placed. So we traced it on like a cloth and mark where these lights should be to see that come to life. It's even more powerful. And we have like 20 activists and volunteers who came do it with us. And they too have this amazing experience. Arts is limitless, you know? I mean, you can do as simple as banner and you could do more elaborate and more as this light installation. But, you know, it's always fun to do these things, especially if you're doing this for an important cause.
I think it's a really cool way to bring artists into the activism movement as well, because I think there's artists are famously bleeding hearts, and there's a lot of space in activism for people in the arts to come in and help. But I think often they don't know how. They think like, oh, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a public speaker. And yet, you know, you go to a science conference where people are panicking about climate change, and they're like, we need artists to get this message out to people, because nobody wants to read this 900-page report from the IPCC about like how the world is ending, right? But everybody wants to see a little like art installation about Casper the Friendly Octopus.
Exactly. You know, you could have this art of like a sea turtle trapped into plastic really spark a conversation about plastic pollution.
Yeah, it's like the difference between knowing that we're on a planet in the middle of the universe and seeing the small blue dot picture for the first time. It's like images have a grip on people's brains that words are great, but images go really far in a different way.
I'm curious about like how, when you have like a big installation, like the Casper the Ghost one, or like the Shame of Thrones, or, you know, whatever other examples you've got, how do you decide where is going to make like a good impact for like presenting that art build, and like how you're going to start those conversations?
Recently, we had three at the conference, INC conference, about the plastic treaty, the negotiation that's happened in Ottawa recently that was so busy. We deliver a plastic factory in front of the show center. It's a 20-foot plastic factory, complete with chimney and smoke, with the banners, with plastic flowing, connected to an oil barrels. And to put them together, it takes time, because you have to put them as quickly as you could before the authorities can stop you. It takes a lot of like planning. There's a risk analysis also. Is the risk outweighs the impact? Would this be impactful? Would the location matters as well? And we also want to make sure that our volunteers are, is it safe? So there's a lot of things that are being considered in deciding what, where, and how do we do it.
For somebody who's like a newer organizer and loves the idea of art builds, but is sort of not quite sure how to set up a good one and how to pick their venue, can you give some examples of like the types of settings where you would do an art build? Is it all sort of like politicians' offices, or like what are those settings?
It depends on the target as well. So if you're targeting a politician, maybe in front of their office, or this one recently when we delivered the plastic factory, it is where the negotiations are happening. So we put the plastic factory over there. Location really matters, because you don't want to put an installation where nobody sees it. Visibility is very important. A lot of traffic. Media is also important. And that's one thing that Greenpeace is also good at, is like contacting media, because that's where Greenpeace is known for, is bearing witness. And I think with Greenpeace having a global network, people have no access to other places where this environmental problems are happening, right? So what Greenpeace has, we have ships that go to these places. We have the capacity to actually broadcast it, take a photo, making sure that these things are happening, we captured it. We send it to the world for the world to see. We could go to places like Antarctica or the Arctic, where some of the people have no idea of what's happening there. And usually, these things that are like these environmental problems and destructions are happening, and in these places that people don't see it, because like companies would hide it.
When it comes to setting up like an art build, or I guess any really action that isn't, you know, a march or a full-on protest, is there value in maybe contacting like the city in advance to let officials know that you're going to be doing this? Or is it always better to do like a guerrilla sort of pop-up and let the authorities kind of drag you away?
We always do it as Renegade. We called it Renegade installation. It wouldn't be Greenpeace if we ask permission and be polite, because it also costs conversation, right? So that's why a lot of planning goes into it, because we have to like do scouting. You know, is it possible to do this here? How many, there are there cameras? is the authorities going to be there in like 5 minutes? So those things and those considerations are very important in action planning. There are some actions that we wanted to be an engagement, an outreach. So for that, if we need safety, then yeah, we need permission. Or like if we want to do a tabling at a certain event, then we can ask permission. But usually for actions, we just like show up and do our thing there.
I'm really curious about the screen printing. So you had dropped screen printing a little earlier in the conversation. I've been just waiting to ask because I've been so curious. Can you talk about like how screen printing would be used in an action? Is there a way to sort of like do it during an action, or is it just setting up t-shirts in advance?
There's a lot of things that you can actually do with screen. It is usually good if you want to do mass produce something like a poster. You can commission like a printer store, but it's always nice to do this manually together with your volunteers. It's another skill that you actually add to the volunteers. It's really fun to do it. An alternative for screen printing is also silkscreen printing is the stenciling. So stenciling is you can cut off an image on like a template, and then you can go somewhere and spray paint on the sidewalk. But then, of course, we use this non-toxic paint as well. And this is, I think, one of the things that you have to remember also. It depends on the campaign. We have a procurement guideline. We want to make sure that what we use sometimes are non-toxic. It's locally produced. Avoid plastic, especially if it's a plastic campaign. Avoid using those stuff as well. So it's really hard and tough. We can't be perfect. But those guidelines help us to create these actions to be more, you know, also sustainable and very environmental friendly.
I'm curious if you can kind of talk through the steps for somebody that might be planning their first art build. So what are some of the steps you would go through? And also, like, what are some of the materials that they might need?
Yeah, we always want to make sure that we use 100% cotton for our banners, non-toxic paint, avoid using plastic, especially if it's single use. So we want to make sure that if we have something that has plastic, it should be evergreen, that we can use it over and over and over again. Yeah, you need a space. Painting a banner, we need like a banner wall. You need a projector. One thing that is also needed is training. So before we do these art builds, we make sure that we have proper trainings for not only for us who are organizing the art builds, but also our volunteers.
Is there anything that you would avoid in doing organizing an art build campaign?
Be cautious, because sometimes if there's too many hands, you invite so many volunteers that your space can accommodate, it would be chaotic. So making sure, this is also one thing that I do, I schedule people. So let's say if you are on a day of art build, so you would schedule them by time. So who can come 9 to 11, then 11 to 2. So just be open-minded also, you know, open to learn new skills. Don't be afraid to try new things, because sometimes people are like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't have a skill to like trace or paint. This is my first time painting, but you know, just be encouraging. Like if you made mistake, so what? It's okay. You know, just enjoy the moment.
Can you think of maybe another example of an art build that we haven't talked about so far that makes you happy? I don't know.
I'm not a part of it, but one thing is the plastic factory that we used. That for me was the best prop that I've seen so far, because it's like a 20-foot trailer that we convert into a plastic factory with complete, you know, smoke coming from the chimney, you know, tube and pipes connected to a barrel. An outlet that like spits plastics. This is like a great art piece. With that comes with the banner as well, with the message, cut plastic production. And on the top, there's like a message. So because people at the building would see it if they look down, they have a vision of like the world is watching you. Every angle, people can see, oh, there's a message there. So this is what it's all about. And this is why I love like organizing this stuff.
What I really like about it too is like, there's, you've given us examples from like very different scales, right? There's that plastics factory that was huge in scale and must have taken so much effort to put together and so many like materials. But then at the smaller end, like anybody can paint a poster and like sneak it into a subway like poster, you know? Even if it's just one or two people, you can organize an art build. But if you want to go wild, why not make a whole plastic factory?
Exactly. It totally depends on the capacity. And that's, I think, one thing that we have to remember, the capacity of and the resources. If you have unlimited resources, then you can build as elaborate as like the plastic factory. But if you have limited resources, a poster would make a difference. We have this one action that we call this ad busting. So it's a technique wherein we change the bust up ads and we change it with our own poster, kind of reclaiming the spaces. Public displays should be for public and not for entire commercial business purposes.
Is there any final thoughts that you had or any questions we didn't ask or any topics that we didn't cover that you think would be important to mention?
Yeah, just find something that you really love doing and something that you're good at and use that as a tool for change.
If you're interested in learning more about Rommel's work, consider subscribing to your local Greenpeace newsletter or even becoming a volunteer.
And if you want to learn more about the Climate Justice Organizing Hub and the work that they do, check out their wiki, which provides information and resources for activists in the climate justice movement.
The wiki is an excellent tool for information on all sorts of topics related to climate justice, like accessibility, burnout and care, movement structure, recruitment and retention, student organizing, and more. You can find a link to the wiki in the show notes or visit lehub.ca.